right, saints. Well, maybe a hard word, but I didn't choose it. It was something the Lord just happened to send us to share with you this particular day. I will remind you, though, that Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." You know what it is to abide in Jesus Christ? He said in 1 John 2:24, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." In other words, no modern day doctrine can we accept. We have to accept what was written to us and sent to us from the beginning. And if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And why is it so? Well, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. And what he knows is best for man doesn't change either. So we just need to humble ourselves to the Word of God. If we have a rock to stand on, it's never changing, and it's very stable. We need to submit to the Lord, or quit calling him Lord. Well, we received this revelation concerning Jezebel's divorce. And it's very interesting, a very good exhortation. And I'm going to share a bunch of scripture with you with it so we can see that it is the word of the Lord, and the Lord has a demand of us as disciples to submit to him. We can't make up things as we go along like a lot of the church is, and of course that's the Jezebel church that does that, because she doesn't submit to her husband, right? We have a husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to submit to him. So anyway, Shelley sent this to us, and she said, "I listened to David's message about division of the land of Israel. Then I went to bed staying overnight at my son's apartment in a small town. At midnight, we were awakened by angry voices from the apartment above with much fighting. So I got up and prayed, doing spiritual warfare and pleading the blood of Jesus over us. We prayed for our neighbors. The battle subsided temporarily, then it heated up again. I went back to bed and prayed in the spirit fervently. I stayed awake most of the night thinking about the division and how the Lord is using this to separate the wheat from the tares." Well, amen. We know that's true. And our Lord said that if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. But he also said that he was going to, in these days, separate the wheat from the tares. He wants a holy body. And so there's going to be division. We just have to make sure it's not our fault, right? And she went on to say, "I believe that this is a refuge city. So the tares are going to be evicted out of this land." Well, whether it is or whether it isn't, we know that the tares are going to be evicted out of God's land, right? And if that land is the land that we know about that is abiding in Jesus Christ, that's true, because they will be evicted from that. There will be a great falling away. We're warned. We don't want to take part in that, obviously, but there will be a great falling away. And she went on to say, "The landlord has a policy of quiet hours from 10 p.m. till 8 a.m., and they violated that edict." Well, let me just say that a corporate assembly of the wicked will be divided and divorced from the corporate assembly of the righteous. In Psalm 1 and 4, we're told, "The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, God will cleanse his congregation worldwide. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And Proverbs 10 and 30 says, the righteous shall never be moved, but the wicked shall not dwell in the land. There you have it, folks. The Lord will evict those that don't obey his word from his land. Now, when we walk by faith, the Lord gives us grace to be obedient. When we repent, confess our sins, walk by faith, it's not hard. You know, the Lord said his burden is light. And he is able to make us able to be partakers of all the inheritance that he has given to the saints. And so it is by grace, but he still corrects us. And if a person continues to be willfully disobedient or justifies themselves so that they can live in the old flesh or let the old man live instead of going to his cross, well, then the Lord has to do something, right? And then she said, early in the morning I fell asleep or was in the spirit and had this dream. I saw that we were in a large Roman church auditorium. Well, having read the whole dream, I know that this represents the worldwide corporate assembly of those who believe that they are the true church, but they're really not. I was in a Roman church when I was born. And when I got to be a teenager, I decided this wasn't for me, you know. And there was a lot of hocus pocus, but very little of anything that really actually edified you or pointed you to the way of salvation. But this is not talking about the physical Roman church, but this is a parable. It's a spiritual mother of the harlots, if you will. And these are those we are commanded to come out from among and not partake of their sins so that we will not be judged with them. She goes on to say, I saw a woman in a red evening gown. And this is the Jezebel spirit that is ruling in that assembly. All over the world there's a Jezebel spirit ruling in that assembly of the unrighteous. Of those that claim to be the church, but are not, because the church is obviously those people who have come out from among them. That's what church means, is to come out. And so she goes on to say the gown had the black open or exposed, the back, excuse me, open or exposed, showing her skin. In other words, her sin is revealed to others, but not to her. In other words, this is a show of nakedness, which is a symbol of sin. We are naked before God when we walk in sin. We're not covered with the works of righteousness, in other words. She was wearing gold ornaments dangling from her hair. So her gold is on the outside. It's an ornament. It's something that you hang on or you can take off, you know. It's a show of something valuable, but it's not on the inside as a nature of something that is valuable. The gold and the silver and the precious stones that we're supposed to have represent the nature of Jesus Christ. People can hang all kinds of things on them and be very religious as a show, but that's not going to count, ultimately, right? And that's the showy church. I mean, they put on all kinds of, you know, extravaganzas, but basically there's nothing there. She took the throne, or the stage, the throne, with her back to us. So the Jezebel spirit rules over the rebellious men and women among us, in that they do not submit to our husband, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Also, in the Scriptures, this spirit is typed by the woman ruling over her husband, and them both being destroyed. The husband, who submits to a Jezebel spirit, and the wife, in order to please her, is in rebellion against the Lord. I know a lot of husbands have not thought about that, but you're really following a spirit that is ruled by the devil when you seek to please your wife at the expense of pleasing the Lord. You know, Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters. That's what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, if you're holding to a Jezebel spirit because it seems to be advantageous at the time, you're despising God because you're following a spirit that is a spirit of Antichrist. And Jesus applied this principle to serving the master of money. But it's also true of serving any master other than Jesus, even a wife. You know, you can make an idol out of a wife. And it's more important for you to serve her and do what she wants, even if it's ungodly, even if it's wrong, even if it's direction that's coming from a wrong direction, than to serve the Lord. So you don't want to be an idolatry, because that's what it is. You know, God cursed Eve for leading her husband astray. And he cursed Adam for hearkening unto the voice of his wife and not his own voice in Genesis 3:16 and through 18. That's purely a Jezebel spirit. You know, Jezebel taught Ahab how to usurp the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And his name means the fruits that God will sow. And they usurped it for their own rotten fruit, and which still happens today. This is a type and a shadow of what happens today. You know, if you obey Jezebel, you have given your vineyard over to her to sow her own rotten fruit in there. If you walk and be obedient, you know, Jesus said, if you obey me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay? And he said that over and over. And if you obey someone else, then you love them more than you love him. That can't happen ever. That's idolatry. We can't obey Jezebel or anyone in whom she lives, because they both were cursed unto death. In 1 Kings 21 is the story. Jezebel would like to rule your house so that she can then rule the church. And matter of fact, we have just an example just like that. The church of Thyatira was ruled by Jezebel. So God said in Revelation 2 and 20, she teacheth and seduceth my servants. But he said, in 1 Timothy 2:11, let a woman learn in quietness and with all subjection. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. Well, this is obviously an abomination to the Lord. He has spoken so much about it through the Scriptures, and it caused so many to go astray. He goes on to say, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. So he doesn't really have a modern-day reason for this. The reason was the reason from the beginning that he didn't want this to happen. Adam was first formed and then Eve. That's still true today, right? And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled has fallen into transgression. So this is God's opinion, and we our opinion has to be God's opinion. What is beautiful to God must be beautiful to us. Otherwise, we're in trouble. And we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. and with the Word of God. We submit to the Word of God because we love and worship Him. And by the way, the word worship means to kiss towards. Proskuneo, it means to kiss towards, meaning it's an act of love towards God. When obeying the Scriptures is a true form of worship because it's an act of love towards God. If you love Him more than you love others, you're going to keep His commandment, and you'll even suffer in order to do it. Many people don't think they ought to suffer in order to obey the Lord. But obeying the Lord will cause you to suffer. It'll cause you to suffer the death of self. Self is Antichrist, you know. The ego is Antichrist, as one Bible code says, you know. Jezebel in the New Testament is going to get the same treatment that she got in the Old Testament for being a Jezebel, for rebelling against God, for leading her husband in the wrong way. You know, Revelation 2 and 22 says, "Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works." Great tribulation. Well, does that not mean that the church is going into tribulation? Yes, but this is not a good thing, because he goes on to say that she's going to die in that tribulation, and all those that are considered members of her body, her children. 23 says, "And I will kill her children with death." Now, this is a spiritual parable, so it could be spiritual death, right? And that's not good. God's going to reprobate. He's going to divorce the Jezebel body out there, which is spread throughout the church, which is taking over TV Christianity and has taken over the churches out there. Jezebel has. It's not hard to see. All you have to do is read the Scriptures one time, and you can look and see that's what's happening. This is not deep teaching. It doesn't take much understanding. But if any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. That's what Jesus said. See, it's hard. It's hard to find out the truth when all you want to do is your own will. Because I got to tell you, folks, when you see a self-willed person, don't think they can know the truth. They can't know the truth. They can't know the truth. And he goes on to say, "And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works." And obviously, he means that our works better line up with his commands. And if they don't, we're going to pay a heavy, heavy price. But then he goes on to say, "But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching," that is the teaching of Jezebel, "who know not the deep things of Satan." You know, God considers the teaching of Jezebel the deep things of Satan. She is not the bride of Christ, as she thinks. She's the bride of Satan. "The deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden, for goodness sake." He's speaking to the church of Thyatira. He corrects them for having Jezebel as a teacher. And he says, if you don't have this problem, I'm not casting upon you any other burden. Well, in other words, they had one major, major problem in God's eyes. And it was Jezebel, and they were permitting her to do this. So, you'll notice from this verse that Jezebel's teaching is called by God the deep things of Satan. That's what he considers. He knows that she seduces his servants to follow another god. And let me say, if you're not for me, you're against me, Jesus said. So another god is Satan here, and self here. And they're pretty synonymous, because if you follow self, you're following Satan. If you're following Satan, you're following self. We came here to die. We came here to lose our life. We have a book on the site. It's free. You can download it. It's very good. It'll be very helpful to you to understand and need to and have, feel a need to seek after the crucified life. And it's called How Shall We Die? I hope you'll read it. A lot of people have, and they're very excited about it, even though it's very crucifying, because it's nothing but the Word of God. But they're excited about knowing how to get closer to God, you know? Praise God. And God knows all the heroic sisters out there who have fought this demon off because of their love for Him and for their family. And He appreciates you very much. And I know this, that when you have fought that demon off, you certainly recognize it in others. You know it can't hide in an assembly of godly people. This spirit can't hide. Everybody knows it. The person that has the Jezebel spirit thinks that they can't hide, but they can't hide. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. And they even know when they come to church and act one way that's acceptable among the saints, they know that when they go home, they don't act that way. They act totally different with their husband. They know that. And they're praying for these folks because they're in bondage. And that's good. That's what you ought to be doing. And those of you that know about the deep things of Satan, you ought to read our article called Word, Women, and Authority. It's under Revelations and Teachings on our site. It's not written by me. It was written by the Lord. I just put together His verses. And they're all there in one spot. And if you really want to draw close to the Lord, but you've got this problem, well, then I suggest you go and read that and read it and read it until it's down inside you and you have a desire. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. You need to have ears to hear from the Lord. Correcting your mind with the Word of God is a good way to have ears to hear the voice of the Lord. Otherwise, you just might hear the voice of Jezebel. And that's not good. All right? And, you know, the Bible says the wife must obey her husband in everything. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. You know, the husband must love the wife to make this easy for her, but his job description does not include obeying Jezebel demons. Certainly not. That's not what love is. That is a hatred for the Lord, as we can see. And going into the deep things of Satan and becoming an Ahab is not part of your job description, husband. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." In other words, just the way you're supposed to obey the Lord, obey your husband. That will be pleasing unto the Lord. Because we're told that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. In the same way that Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of wife. If you rebel against your husband, wife, you are rebelling against the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Being himself the Savior of the body. Wow, that's interesting. Obey your husband and let him do his job. Because in obeying your husband, you'll be sanctifying. You'll be being sanctified, right? But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. In everything. Notice that. So let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. So It's not how the church is subject to Christ, but it's how the church is supposed to be subject to Christ is actually what it's meaning. So in that way, let the wife be subject unto her husbands and everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So a husband is a self-sacrificing person for the sake of the wife. Again, the job description here does not include obeying Jezebel. You have to obey the Lord, because the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And so you have to keep that in correct order, or else if you get out of order, you'll be missing God. And verse 26, so that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word. That's part of your job description there, husband. Sanctify the submissive wife. That's got to be on her part. By the cleansing with the washing of the water with the word. In other words, the word of God needs to be number one in your home. It's got to be your law. It's got to be your rock to stand on. And verse 27, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church. Now, remember, he's comparing what Jesus does to the church to what the husband does for the wife, right? That he might present the church to himself a glorious church. May all husbands be able to present to themselves a glorious wife, right? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know what spots are, right? Spots are new sins and wrinkles are old sins. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. So there's a really good reason, wife, why you should submit to your husband. There it is, right there. You'll never come to maturity. You'll never be that beautiful bride for the Lord unless you obey your husband. And notice, if the husband loves the wife, he can sanctify her. And notice that if the wife obeys her husband, she will be sanctified through this. Notice what the verses are saying here. But if she says, I can't obey him until he loves me like Christ loved the church. If that happens, folks, she will never be sanctified. The Lord says that she must obey her husband whether he is perfect or not. That's right. 1 Peter 3 and 1. In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word. Aha, so the husband don't have to be perfect. In fact, he cannot be obeying the word. And he still says, obey your husbands. That they may, without the word, be gained by the behavior of their wives. Notice, even while they're not obeying the word, they'll be gained by their wives. Now, there's a great advantage to this, right? Beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear. So the wife should have chaste behavior and fear her husband. And what is the advantage? Well, notice, wives, it's to your advantage to obey him so he can be sanctified. And husbands, it is to your great advantage to love the Lord, meaning obey him, and love your wife, and in that order. Well, some would say, well, I'm not a Jezebel, or I love my wife, but I'm just offended. Well, if you are offended, you are always wrong, because you're not forgiving, and are therefore not forgiven by God. Or are you eligible for grace if you're not forgiven by God, according to what Jesus said? So if you're offended, you're just wrong. No matter what, you're wrong. There's two things that you're offending when you're offended. You're not forgiving, so you're not forgiven according to Jesus, and you're not exercising faith. And what's coming out of your mouth when you're offended is everything but what needs to come out of your mouth. That's right. You're criticizing, You're judging. You're unforgiving. You're bitter. All these things are coming out of your mouth, and you're cursing yourself because you're cursing your mate. Right? Well, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you, the Lord said, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall it be unto you. It's a dangerous thing to speak contrary to the word. If you add to God's word, he'll add to you the curses that are written in the book. And if you take away from his words, well, he'll take away your part in the tree of life. That's what he says. It's a dangerous thing. With your words, you're going to be justified, and with your words, you're going to be condemned. Are you a believer? Well, then, it needs to come out of your mouth. And do you believe the word of God? Well, then, you need to be obedient. And you can't wait for somebody else to be obedient to be obedient. Everybody else is accountable to the Lord themselves. Your husband is accountable to the Lord himself. Your wife is accountable to the Lord himself. Don't wait for them to be obedient. You have to be obedient. Your life is in your hands. So, moving on, she said, after seeing this woman on the throne, I heard the words, one stone will not be left on another. Oh, wow. You know, at one time, God's holy city was called a harlot in Isaiah. How's the holy city become a harlot, he said, you know? But Jesus said, not one stone would be left upon another. That's the same as the harlot of our day, folks. It's not apostate Jerusalem this time. It's apostate Christianity. And not one stone will be left upon another. It's all going to be torn down. God has cursed the house of Jezebel, both individual and corporate. You understand what I mean by individual and corporate? That means in your home, if there's a Jezebel there, and she's being obeyed by an Ahab there, there's a curse on that, the same curse that was upon them. And corporate, because there is a corporate body out there of Jezebel, and she's spread out throughout the church, and everywhere she is, there is a curse. And the biggest curse is going to be on her. He says, not one stone will be left upon another. Meaning, he will tear it down stone by stone, or individual by individual, or fake church by fake church, or however you want to see the stones, individual or corporate. But the Lord said he will tear it down. You want to tear down your house with your own hands, or even more so with your own tongue, you know, just disobey his commands concerning this. Then Shelley said, the next scene was a repeat of the first scene in the church auditorium. I was standing in the pews facing the stage area. Only this time, I noticed there were fewer people in the audience. Oh, the Lord is tearing it down, right? Very, very few remaining inside this large mega church building. Yeah. And Mark 13:2 says, and Jesus said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left here one stone upon another, which shall not be thrown down. Yep, what did he do? He raised up the beast to come and tear it down to the ground. The building that they thought was holy, it was torn down to the ground. Now there's a building today that's thought to be holy by religious people, who are putting on a pretty good show, but they really don't have it on the inside. And that's going to be torn down by the Lord, stone by stone. And he's going to raise up the beast to do that. He's going to totally conquer the fake church with the beast. They're going to be given into the beast's hands to destroy. Now, we're not talking about buildings. In the New Testament, buildings are people. Right? What is the temple today? Right? And she said, as I meditated on this passage, I realized that the stones Jesus is talking about are people and are like we are living stones in his temple. In 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. So stone upon stone, they're going to be torn down, taken out of his temple. To be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So, if we as these living stones are the priesthood, the New Testament's priesthood, which we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which we should be doing. The major one, of course, is the sacrifice of burning flesh. It's called the continual burnt offering. If there's not a continual burnt offering, then your religion is in vain. The Jews don't have a continual burnt offering because they're not the people of God anymore. They have been broken off of the olive tree, and the Christians were grafted in through their faith according to what the Word of God says, and we have to believe that. So we have a continual burnt offering, and it should be the offering up of our old flesh on the altar of the fiery trial. And you do that when you deny yourself and permission to live and to do and to act the way you want to act in order to submit to the Lord, which is crucifying, which puts to death the old self. And in the midst of the trial, folks, the wife can't suddenly take the reins in her own hands and say, well, I'm just going to do it myself. Let's go this way. Won't happen. Won't work. It'll fail. It's doomed to be cursed. You're tearing your own house down with your own hands. It's in the midst of the trial that you offer up that old flesh as a sacrifice well-pleasing unto God, right? And he goes on to say that this is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the acceptable life. Many a loud person out there is wanting to take authority, and the Lord sees it, and he will deal with it. She said, I felt the presence of a strong man, Jesus, in parentheses, come into the church next to me on the right. He then stepped up behind me and wrapped his arms around me in a big embrace. You know, after the separation of the fruitless tares from among the wheat, the bride and the true church will be made manifest. You know, just as the parable of the tares and the wheat in Matthew 13. She said, I felt safe and warm in his arms. I was surprised. He seemed fat. And as I thought on this, he said, shall I lose 5 pounds for you? And this is what came to me, Proverbs 28 and 25. And it says, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. I was puzzled by what 5 pounds could mean. I thought later to look up 5 pounds and found this verse, Luke 19 and 18. And the second came, saying, thy pound, Lord, hath made 5 pounds. Ah, bearing fruit. You know, the Lord left him with the pound, and he brought forth 5 more pounds. That's bearing fruit, right? And he said unto him also, be thou over 5 cities. So we see here that 5 pounds given up for the bride represents the Lord's reward for the fruitful. We have to bear fruit. And bearing fruit is what? Bearing fruit is coming into his likeness, into obedience to the Word of God. The more of the Word you obey, the more fruit you bear. That's where fruit comes from. Right? And he sowed the word of God in the hearts in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, and it brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and a hundredfold. So that word going into that heart, when it finds good ground, and you are obedient to it, then you're bringing forth fruit. This is what God expects when he returns. He don't want somebody to have taken what he gave them and bury it in the earth, like the one man did that did not bear fruit and was cast forth into outer darkness. You're going to find a lot of so-called Christians are not bearing any fruit because they're not reading the Word of God. They're not seeking to be a disciple of Jesus Christ by coming into obedience to it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Then I saw an ocean liner on the sea, and I knew this man who held me strongly and securely in his arms is the captain of this large ship. And she has in parentheses, Jesus is the head guiding the ship to revival. Well, amen to that. And what you must know about this small town is it has a very small population and it's situated on a chain of lakes. It's a popular resort town in summer, but now it's winter there. And I came to help my son move into his apartment from a temporary apartment where he had stayed down the hall for 1 month prior. There are many divorced women with children living in this building. And the fight was between two men and a woman. Well, immediately when I read this, the thought came to me that the soul of the apostate woman is in the balance. Two men have fought for her obedient submission, Jesus and Satan. And the only hope of her children is to come out of her and don't have any fellowship with her sins. She goes on to say, the divorced are a symbol of the divisive spirit operating in the land. I prayed for this woman to come to the knowledge of the truth as she was walking in her apartment overhead all night. She had no rest, but I did finally in my Savior's arms where I am safe. Amen. I asked the Lord for a passage of Scripture for this dream, and he gave me Job chapter 22. I see the first section, Job 22, 1 through 11, about division, and 22, 12 through 18 about the harlot church, and 22, 19 through 30 about the man-child. Then this verse, for those who are in the refuge of Jesus, safely in his arms, Job 22 and 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, but if thou put away unrighteousness far from thy tents. So if you repent, the Lord will be with you. He will bless you. He will provide for you. You know, if iniquity is not removed from the individual, God will remove the individual from among his body, so that a little leaven does not leaven the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. By the way, malice and wickedness is the very nature of Jezebel. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But as it is, verse 11, but as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat. You know, let me just point something out to you. Jezebels are covetous in that they lust for a position that God has not given them. And they are revilers in that they speak abusively against their head instead of speaking faith and encouragement to him. And they're extortioners in that they use their position to manipulate gain for themselves. It's a competition with them, and they want to come out on top, so to speak. But verse 13 says, "But them that are without God judgeth. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves." So we see either we divorce the sin, or God will divorce us. You know, Isaiah 50:1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement wherewith I have put her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities, for your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away." Well, our mother is the apostate church. All religions, all of the daughter harlots came out of the mother harlot, right? But God is divorcing the apostate Jezebel church. You know, as the Lord divorced the Jezebel of Israel, so he will divorce the Jezebel of the church. The things that have been are the things that shall be. She said, I heard the Lord say as I prayed about this dream and its interpretation, because they have divorced themselves from me, I will divorce myself from them. Matthew 10:34 says, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." God will separate those that consider his kingdom more valuable than any kingdom of this world. He is going to separate. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's ultimately going to be that way, because God can bring in, even when you come into the kingdom and people are separated from you, God can bring them in if you're faithful to him. And even you husbands out there, you know, if you've got a Jezebel wife, you be faithful to the Lord. He will honor your faith for your wife if you're faithful to the Lord. He will honor you. You need God's grace. Therefore, obey him. Even if your wife don't like it, obey him. So sorry. You will suffer for doing righteousness' sake. Shelley went on to say, "I was troubled in my spirit that even though I did spiritual warfare and prayed, the fighting continued off and on throughout the night. And I had to persevere in praying in the spirit." Well, you know, we must pray and do spiritual warfare for those who are captive to the Jezebel spirit, both corporate and individual. And ask God to put it in you and give you a gift to pray for those that you know are caught up in this thing. Then she said, "The Lord reminded me that it could have been much worse had we not prayed to intercede for the other tenants and especially the children." And, of course, we have not because we ask not. You know, you've been given authority in the earth. Your prayers mean something. The world can't do that. You need to pray for people, right? And believe when you pray. And she went on to say, this verse seemed to fit from the passage that the Lord gave me in Job 22:29. "When they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And the humble person he will save. And he will deliver even him that is not innocent. Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands." Notice that. If your hands are clean, if you're obedient to the Lord, he will hear your prayers for other people. If not, if you submitted to Jezebel, don't expect him to change things, Ahab, right? So those of Jezebel who do not repent will be divided from the church. and the bride and be divorced of the Lord. And this means the reprobation. Praise God. Well, she goes on to say, in the natural, my son is now aware of the need to pray for others in his apartment building. I'm reminded of how much we need to pray for our neighbors, too. Yeah, Galatians 5 and 13 says, for ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one of another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you pray for yourself a lot, right? Well, pray for your neighbor. Give, and it will be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, right? So give of your time, give of your prayer, give of your sacrifice, you know, for those around you. You see anybody in your assembly that needs prayer, remember them. God will remember you. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And this happens too. Cannibalism. You know, you've heard about cannibalism. It's been in the news lately that the Muslims now believe in cannibalizing unbelievers. Oh boy, have we had prophecies and dreams about that? We certainly have. And people wondered, now how could that happen? Well, now it's happening before our very faces, folks. They're preaching that kind of garbage among them. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Spiritual cannibalism. Because your words count. You know, go to God in faith for those that you love, if you do love them. I tell you, one thing about Jezebel is she loves herself. And if she didn't, she would give it up. But we got to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Amen? So if there's one exhortation I can take away from this, I would say that the bride is being chosen, so move quickly. For there will not be a Jezebel nor an Ahab among the bride. You hear what I say, folks? God bless you and keep you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to give grace to anyone out there that wants to escape this trap, Lord, of either a Jezebel or an Ahab. And let them become obedient to your word. Let them put their faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who bore this sin of the Jezebel and Ahab life upon the cross, and gave them his life, his holy life, and gave them the correction of the renewed mind through the word of God. Father, I pray that anyone who is caught up in these sins would be granted grace by you to devour your New Testament, Lord, to be filled with your new covenant, Lord, and the words that give freedom, the words that set free. Thank you so much, Father. The words that bear fruit, the sower sowed the seed, which was the word of God, into the hearts, and they brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Praise God. And the sad thing was that there were three other groups there that didn't bear fruit. And so it is today. Many, many are not bearing fruit, and they don't know that that's what God expects of them. This is the manifestation of your salvation in the earth, is to manifest his fruit, his word, in us. Right? Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Right? Well, amen.